I'm Dan Prescher for International Living. From running one of the most influential and well-known independent bookstores in the United States to establishing a family and community-based business in one of Mexico's most beautiful colonial cities, Patrice Wynn's career has taken some dramatic turns. She now calls San Miguel de Allende home, and her unique take on life and business in central Mexico is an inspiration to anyone who thinks that the challenge of starting over is one to be savored. It was certainly that way for Patrice, and she'll tell us why on this edition of Finding Your Overseas Paradise. Patrice Wynn, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I am talking to you right now in Berkeley, California. Is that right?
That's true. My former home.
So are you a Berkeley, California native? Did you grow up there? Where are you from?
I grew up in Pennsylvania, but I consider Berkeley the place where I became a person, a full human. But I lived there for 30 years, and it shaped me. So I always say Berkeley, when people ask what country I'm from, I say I'm from a country named Berkeley because it is its own universe here.
Very distinctive, yeah. Very distinctive. What were you doing there before you made the decision to relocate? And we'll get into where you relocated and what you're doing now in a little bit. But what was your life in Berkeley like before you decided to leave the States?
I owned a bookstore called Gaia, and it was actually a bookstore and a cultural center. And my specialty, besides selling books, was producing events. Mm-hmm. And so I figured in the course of my career, I introduced 3,000 authors since we were open about 15 years, and we had author events almost every evening. So I met some of the great writers and wonderful people in writing books during the 90s, late 80s, and the entire decade of the 90s, because we closed in the year 2000. But I was also very active in the independent bookstore community on the board of directors of American Booksellers in the local region. I was a big advocate for independent booksellers. So I love my career. I love being a bookseller. It is really one of the tremendous careers one can have in a lifetime. And I was very sad. I watched the demise of independent bookselling in America at the end of the 90s. We often say as booksellers, it was the great era of bookselling in the late 80s and early 90s until the arrival of internet bookselling and the chains that changed the terrain tremendously.
Changed everything, yeah. I went to school in Iowa City and was familiar with Prairie Lights Bookstore, another mm-hmm. one of those great independent booksellers.
Yeah.
And
well
now,
known.
Of course, all of the big chains have gone their own way via evolution, and everybody is now reading online and via Kindle. Has that had an effect on the book industry from your perspective as an independent bookseller, or is it just a logical extension of the digitalization of literature?
Well, I think it's a digitalization of knowledge and of reading, and so I think it's going to make a big difference in all of our lives, and certainly in a lot of smaller stores now will start to close.
Yeah.
But the exciting thing is that we as human beings and as entrepreneurs have the capacity to reinvent ourselves. It's innate. If you're an entrepreneur, that's what you figure out is now first this, now that, and
right.
you come up with other ways to reconstruct and make your life meaningful. And because I love small business and I love giving back to the community, it's just an innate value that I have. It was not easy. I wouldn't say it was easy because it took me 5 years when I moved to San Miguel de Allende, which is my new home.
Yeah.
It took me 5 years to figure out exactly what my new career and work life might look like.
Beautiful segue. You, of course, did relocate to San Miguel de Allende, that beautiful central Mexican mountain town, and you started your own business. Tell me about that business and how you got it up and running.
Well, we often say San Miguel is divino. It's just divine. It's so beautiful, and so it's inspiring just by its very essence, its glories. But I when I first closed the bookstore, I was actually very sad. It was a big loss in my life and in the community. And I also, my marriage ended at the time. So there were a lot of changes. And I thought, well, I could stay in Berkeley and be very sad for a long time, or I could let Mexico work its magic, because I've mm-hmm. always been, I've loved that country since I was a child. And I speak a little Spanish. And so I went and moved to San Miguel de Allende, and it took me about 5 years to get my mojo back and to get that inspiration and that that, you know, entrepreneurial drive again.
Right.
But I was living in a colonia, which is a neighborhood called Colonia Guadalupe, and a neighbor was a seamstress, and she started working in my home doing some projects. And her children came to me, her older children said, Mom needs some money to put us through school. And so I said, well, you know, I'll see what I can do for scholarships for their university studies. But in the end, what we came up with was a plan to, you know, because that money wasn't available, to work on creating some Guadalupe curtains and kimonos that I had, a shower curtain, Guadalupe shower curtain and kimono.
And when you say Guadalupe, you mean the Virgin of Guadalupe.
Exactly. It was a design, it was a fabric design that I had. And so I had this idea that I could sell to the local community. In fact, because I love the Virgin of Guadalupe and I love the product that we were creating. So I started selling. I'm very good at marketing what I invested in. And so we began selling. And then I thought, well, this has, you know, been a big success locally. Let's go national, international. And so we created the website. But what happened is literally the week the website was due to launch, the fabric supplier said, no, I'm sorry, we're discontinuing that line. And so we can't have it. We won't be able to produce it anymore. We won't be able to produce it. So that was a shock. Let me tell you, yeah. Major shock. But from there, as I said, you know, when you move to a foreign country, you really have to be creative in how you're going to solve the problems that are presented to you. So I went online and started researching fabrics and came up with another business concept called San Miguel Designs. So my company, San Miguel Designs, manufactures aprons and men's shirts and ties and handbags and travel bags and lots of odd items like headbands now for, you know, the young girls and eye masks. Anything that you can make, anything the seamstresses can make, we can create a product line and sell I have a store in San Miguel de Allende called Abrazos, which means embrace. And I named the store Abrazos because, and with the understanding of what it means, embrace, because I felt so embraced by this culture, these people, the Mexican people, who are so warm and so dear and kind and understanding and calm and really a delight to live in this culture. And their embrace of us and our embrace of them. And so it spoke to this bicultural community that San Miguel de Allende has become over the last 50 years. And so the store opened this year, but San Miguel Designs I've had since 2006. So it's been 5 years of producing these creations, working with them. Now we have 16 families that do all of our production. But we're a small company. I mean, the way I'm describing it sounds like a big, you know, big production and big international company. But I love the idea of having a small business, working with local people, and you know, we're just not capitalized enough to have it grow into anything international. And, I mean, we have everything from Day of the Dead, which is classic Mexican iconography, to Chili Peppers.
Right.
So, you know, there's something for everybody. If people aren't so keen on the dancing mariachis or skeletons, we have the Virgin of Guadalupe.
We have something
Frida
else for
Kahlo.
You.
Frida Kahlo is has been our big seller for years. Yeah.
Now, you've touched on this, but I want you to go into a little more detail. Why San Miguel de Allende? What is it that makes that place special for you and for so many of the other expats that have chosen to live there?
San Miguel is just gorgeous. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful places you could ever visit. And it's a colonial town that's very well preserved. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site, so there's been a lot of investment in the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to navigate. It's a town that takes care of itself, and but when people say, "Oh, San Miguel is overrun by Americans," I said, "Not true. If you believe that, you're hanging out in the wrong places."
Yeah.
Because certainly there are bars and restaurants in a certain place in the Jardin, which is our plaza, where it's all Americans congregating because people, birds of a feather flock together.
Right.
But, you know, if you travel outside those areas, you have markets and, you know, neighborhoods and restaurants and taco stands and fondas, which are family restaurants, where you might be the only foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a town that has preserved its traditional sense. And that's, for example, at Abrazos, my store in San Miguel, which is exactly halfway between the Instituto Allende, which is where the American expat community first began arriving in the 1950s, and the Bellas Artes, which is the other art school And right. So Brazos is midway between those two on a street called Zacatero's, the main thoroughfare. Well, all day long, it's not unusual for a fiesta to come by, a procession to come by, mm-hmm. with dancing Aztec dressed, children, or a funeral on their way to the Pantheon, and they walk very slowly, and there are mariachis that accompany them, or, some kind of a parade, locos, or we're on the locos route, which is a crazy parade that happens in June. So, all day long we can see anything spontaneously arising. San Miguel preserves its original traditions, and that cannot be said for many other towns.
Right.
But San Miguel has a strong heritage that the people preserve with a lot of opportunities to watch these traditions of the Mexican, both Catholicism, the Aztec culture,
right.
Mexican society.
And, of course, that plays directly into your store and your design themes, because you're based in that Mexican culture, those Mexican design themes, those cultural elements that are still present there in San Miguel de Allende and well-preserved.
Well, it's all true. But, I say to people, San Miguel is slow and sweet and sensuous and sophisticated, because mm-hmm. often slow, sweet, sensuous means kind of after 3 days it's a yawn experience if it's too slow. A lot of people, but not for San Miguel. It's got art galleries and documentary film festivals and lots of interesting people that you can meet, very easily. So it's a wonderful place to retire to, or in my case, to, start a new life.
Right.
Because there's so much offered in our own language. And that is important when you're, when you have an active mind and you want to meet your own kind.
Right.
But it's not so easy to learn the Spanish language. That's a challenge. And to be able to work and live in San Miguel, to me, is a great life experience. And also, it's very good for a business. If you are an expat who would like to work or needs to work, San Miguel is wonderful in that you can draw on, a fairly well-to-do American community as well as a Mexican community.
So you have the best of both worlds there. If you're an entrepreneur and you have an idea,
well, and also it's a big tourist town. So yeah. a lot of Mexicans travel there from Mexico City, Guadalajara, Monterrey, and they're very well educated and speak English too.
And you raise a great point about a lot of popular places with expats. We talk to a lot of people that say, well, I don't want to go there. It's so full of extranjeros and gringos that the experience won't be authentic. Well, when you get to places like that, you often find that the experience is just as authentic as you want to make it. You just have to get out of your circle, go out and experience the things that are there to experience. People have a tendency to isolate themselves a little bit, but you can get as much culture, certainly in San Miguel de Allende and many other places, as you want by just going out and interacting with the community.
It's so true. And also, if you want to learn the language and you want to understand the Mexican culture and the Mexican people, the best way to do it is to start a business, as I did when I opened Brazos. It just I have had more interesting conversations and more understanding of Mexican society, Mexican, ways of being, from working the store and talking to Mexicans that travel there.
Yeah.
But also by, donating your time and energy and knowledge to nonprofits and other organizations in town, which San Miguel abounds in. So there's lots of opportunities to give back to the community.
Patrice, you mentioned your challenge already with finding a local supplier for your raw materials. So I know that there are other challenges in this entrepreneurial adventure that you've undertaken there in Mexico. If you had to name one of your biggest challenges starting a business there for the benefit of our listeners, what would it be? What's the one thing that you really learned from this experience and would warn other people to look out for?
Well, I running out of fabric at the point where I was ready to launch the next phase was a one blow. But that can happen anywhere. I have to say, most anything that will happen in Mexico, I often have a story of a counterpoint in the U.S.
Right.
But the biggest challenge facing any of us that have businesses in Mexico right now is the propaganda, as I call it, the propaganda and the focus on Mexican crime, which is not really the story. That's not. It is
yeah.
a story, but it's not the story. The story is the amount of expats that are moving to Mexico because of the outstanding quality of life that you can have there, the marvelous people that you get to live and get to know, and the reduced cost of living dramatically on almost every count. and, you know, in so many ways. And so people are finding they have a higher quality of life for a lot less. And so I think it's a very grave problem. That's a public relations, public image problem that's affecting small businesses and, you know, all, at every level. You know, conferences, people want to take tours and conferences and they
right.
come to people to sign up because they believe the story that Mexico is dangerous. And it is not dangerous as a country. There are areas that are dangerous. The borders have some, you know, degree of concern, of course.
Right.
But it's as if there was a war in Texas and Europeans weren't coming to New York City.
Yeah.
That's how absurd it is. So I would say my biggest problem right now is that tourism has declined dramatically. And the tragedy is not only that this drug war is going on, you know, but also that people that don't deserve it are having, you know, very difficult economic problems throughout the entire country when they have beautiful towns and cities and villages worth visiting, and they're safe. People walk around the store at midnight very safely.
Right. The problem is very localized, but the fallout is national, unfortunately, for Mexico.
That's right.
People lose sight of the fact that Mexico is still the place where more expats live full or part-time outside the United States than any other place on the planet. Business aside, Patrice, from a personal point of view, what was your biggest challenge in relocating outside the United States? You've already mentioned that Mexico spoke to you for a long time. You had a love of the Mexican culture. Was there something unexpected that you encountered when you actually relocated outside the United States? Was there a challenge that you had to overcome?
Well, anytime you move to a country with a new language, there's the challenges and opportunities of learning a language.
Right.
And, I studied Spanish in high school and college. I was actually the president of the Spanish class. But I say when I moved to San Miguel, my hard drive got erased. I started over, all over again, as if I hadn't had a year of 8 years of Spanish.
Right.
But that's because I hadn't spoken it for the, you know, in between 30 years. So I'm enjoying learning Spanish, but I'm often challenged by it too. But you know, it works the brain. It keeps one amused.
It certainly does. It keeps you on your toes. What are your future plans, Patrice? Are you perfectly happy there in San Miguel de Allende? The business is
going
well.
I love it. It's where I want to grow younger. It's where I want to, you know, continue the rest of my life. I don't see myself moving back here. I have a wonderful house and a fantastic staff and running my business. I've been gone for 2 months now, actually, in Berkeley, and my employees are, you know, doing everything they can to keep the business healthy and vital. I'm very proud of them, and I see no reason to change my life the way it is, except, again, we need more money, which means more tourism, and so we're looking at ways we can expand outside San Miguel and nationally, and we're developing our website, redesigning our website. So the website will have a new look when people log on.
Give me that website address one more time.
It's www.sanmigueldesigns.designs, and it's sanmigueldesigns.com, sanmigueldesigns.com. So that's my future. My future is looking at ways to continue living there, traveling throughout the country. You know, a lot of my friends go to China, Thailand. I say, I just want to travel all over Mexico and get to know that country. And as a further testament to how safe it is, I am a single woman who drives by myself on the roads and highways and the back roads of Mexico without any problems. So
I know this to be a fact. Susan and I have done it ourselves. We will have people who won't believe it just because of the incredible focus on the negative in the U.S. news cycle, but it's all true. The vast majority of Mexico is wonderful, safe, and very pleasant.
And fun.
Best of luck in your future endeavors, and I hope to run into you in San Miguel sometime soon. Susan and I would both love to get back there, and we'll drop in on Abrazos and say hi to you.
I'd love that, and I'd also, you can always count on a fiesta at my house when you arrive. Okay, thanks, Dan.
Patrice Wynn, thank you
so much.
Thank you so much for talking to me, Patrice. I really enjoyed
it.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
sign up for International Living's free daily postcards at internationalliving.com/radio and get a free report on the world's top retirement havens. These free daily postcards will give you more information on living the good life for less overseas. Thanks for listening to International Living Radio. You can hear more episodes of Finding Your Overseas Paradise at internationalliving.com/radio.